clear and concise. This is the Shannon Joy Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York. So good to be with all of you tonight right here on TNT. It is Thursday, the day before Friday. Thank you, Jesus. Can't wait for the rest and the relaxation and the weekend. But in the meantime, we have so much to get to. Good news out there tonight from the United States of America on two separate fronts. We are going to look at a bombshell decision from a federal court that essentially smacks down the federal government agency Head Start's vaccine mandate for employees, contractors, staffers in 24 separate states. It also smashes down the mask mandate for children over the age of 2 in all Head Start programs in those various 24 states. This is a landmark decision, yet another decision from a federal court that is smashing these unconstitutional, unethical, illegal, and dangerous intrusions on the physical bodies of Americans across this country. We're going to look at that decision a little bit later tonight in the program. It is going to have wide-scale implications for states, not just the 24 states that it impacts immediately, but also other states in the union. It is a good day for liberty here in the U.S. We are doing our part, though we're not awake in the same way that Europe is. And frankly, Europe is on fire. We're going to talk about the populist revolution happening across the globe. We haven't seen it here necessarily in the United States of America yet, but it is sweeping Europe. And we now have a big report from Bloomberg, though it's critical of these protests and what they're going to call an autumn of revolt across Europe. They are acknowledging now that the Netherlands, Germany, Poland, UK, Italy, France, all joining in with a very unified message. We do not want global tyranny. We do not want the Great Reset. We do not want the sustainability agenda from Davos or Brussels. We do not want our nations involved in the fracas between Russia and Ukraine. We do not want our funds to be used to fight that quote unquote war. And we do not want sanctions on Russia involving energy, because they are looking at a very bleak winter as fuel prices skyrocket, food prices skyrocket. They feel it very intensely in Europe. And we're going to look at that report from Bloomberg because it's happening. Can't put this genie back in the bottle. The people are awake. They are aware. And this is great news. It's great news. Moderna stocks plummeting, right? As demand crashes, people are waking up to the nature of these mRNA vaccines. Virtually zero demand for the Moderna vaccines now, but that's not stopping them. Word on the street is that a mega mRNA vaccine from Moderna is being processed right now, okay? So they're gonna mix together a flu, a COVID, and a monkeypox mega mRNA vaccine, a package deal software update for your biological operating system. Okay, so that's in the hopper. They're not quite getting the message that the wheels are falling off the jalopy. It is taking an extraordinarily long amount of time for us to get here because they have so much power. They have captured so many agencies, big pharma. They have been laying this groundwork for 30 years. The levels of indoctrination and propaganda are so completely sophisticated. And so they never thought they would be in this situation. And yes, it necessarily is taking an enormous effort from individuals, lawyers, doctors, scientists, individual activators at the local level across the globe to begin to pin them in and pin them back. But we're doing it. We are doing it. And this is why you are seeing plunging stock values for corporations like Moderna. And also this tone-deaf response, right? So many of the elites do indeed seem to be living in a bubble. They don't get it. They only surround themselves, whether it's media, academia, government, bureaucracies, nonprofit institutions, global institutions, massive corporations. They only hang out with each other. They never venture outside their bubble. And so they just don't get it. No one wants your vaccine. The people are awake to the dangers, the long-term and short-term adverse events, the piling up of data, the mountains of data emerging from country after country regarding devastating impacts, adverse events from these vaccines, yet they can't hear it. Oh, really? The demand for the current mRNA vaccine is basically zero. Our stocks are plummeting, yet Moderna executives seem to think that launching a new mega mRNA to address the flu, COVID, and monkeypox all at the same time is really gonna fly. I have a feeling they're gonna have an extraordinarily hard time pushing this because the people are waking up. The consumers are speaking. Very quietly in the US, but they're speaking. The uptake of the boosters is in the toilet. The uptake of COVID-19 mRNA vaccines for children under the age of 5 and under the age of 12 in the toilet. We now have court decisions mounting up one after another, federal court cases smashing down vaccine mandates for private employers, government agencies, one after another. We are closing in on Pfizer as we begin to wade through the tens of thousands of pages that Pfizer and the FDA were forced to release by a judge a year and a half ago. That's still in play. Lawyers and advocates diligently documenting the fraud, the massive amounts of fraud that are in plain sight now, committed by the FDA and Pfizer during those clinical trials. And as you know, that will bust open our conversation with Ben Carlisle last Tuesday or this past Tuesday. Fascinating conversation. Once fraud is established, and once it is established that the pharmaceutical company engaged in a cover-up, essentially withholding important information about adverse events from their consumers, from the people, their immunity disappears. The so-called vaunted immunity for pharmaceutical corporations. If it's a vaccine, you can't be sued. And this was put forth in legislation that President Reagan signed, unfortunately, in the 1980s, but also more recently in various executive orders. Governors and presidents and these executive entities granted some type of, you know, blanket immunity to every medical doctor, pharmaceutical corporation, basically anyone involved in COVID-19. You can do anything you want to anyone at any time. You can kill people, you can inject them with poison, you can obstruct their breathing, you can destroy their soul, these little children. You can do anything you want, you will have no immunity. You'll never get sued, you'll never get in trouble, right? Well, that didn't work. You know, they might have thought that would work in this case. And maybe this is how so many low-level administrative tyrants justified what they did to individuals in nursing homes and hospitals and in schools, what they did to small businesses and individuals in their communities. And maybe in the back of their mind, they justified everything saying that to themselves, well, this is an emergency. We don't know what we're doing. Oh, and by the way, I'm immune. I've been given blanket immunity. And they may think that that is going to protect them. But I have a feeling it's going to be otherwise. And we've seen in history that the medical doctors and the scientists and the Nazi sympathizers and those who just submitted to orders, they just followed orders. They didn't fare so well in the courts of Nuremberg. Many of them hanged. Many of them went to prison. Okay? So this is all in flux, but good news. In the next segment, we are going to look at, we're going to go through this federal court ruling and what the judge found in terms of the Head Start situation. It's fantastic. We're also going to look tonight at the massive protests raging across Europe, including Iran. The footage from Iran is frankly astounding. The Iranian people, women in the streets, throwing their hijab, throwing, all of that restrictive gear that was mandated by the theocracy, the government of Iran, massive bonfires, people dancing in the streets. I mean, it is astounding. I'm looking for a good source in Iran to report to this, to report on this topic to all of you. And so I'll keep an eye out for that. But just frankly astounding. So we're going to look at the populist revolt, the liberty revolt, the freedom revolt happening across the globe. But I also want to give you an update on Matt Walsh. Yesterday, we talked about Matt Walsh of the Daily Wire, his reporting on Vanderbilt Hospital. Again, one of many, quote unquote, gender-affirming hospital systems in the United States of America. I would venture to guess there are dozens, if not hundreds, of major hospital systems that now have gender-affirming units. This is where they pump little children full of hormones and sterilize them and call that medical care, and also perform top surgery, bottom surgery, essentially transitioning a child biologically through surgery, which is these are brutal surgeries. But they will do them on children that they've admitted in certain documents and in certain cases. And so Matt Walsh reported on his own hospital system in his own backyard with great success. And what I love about this story, I just want to give you an update on this. What I love about this story is that the audio that his team was able to uncover at Vanderbilt was astounding. It was true investigative journalism that usually isn't done by commentators or presenters on broadcast television or radio. But in this case, we're beginning to see individuals with national platforms begin to step out locally and look locally, right? All of those big national issues that we talk about as presenters are happening in our own communities. And we've had this tendency, a knee-jerk tendency, for most presenters on the right to assume because they live in a right-leaning state, because they live in a red state, they're safe and they are immune to the radical, insane progressivism, especially of these LGBTQ plus, issues. And here you have Matt Walsh reporting on his own community and having great impact. We saw this with Sarah Gonzalez. She is a presenter for the Blaze media outlet, major news media outlet in the United States of America, conservative leaning. And last week, she shut down hard a drag queen show for kiddies in her own hometown of Texas, right? Hello, Texas, red state. She's seeing it happen in her own state. In addition, Matt Walsh, hello, he's Nashville. This is Tennessee, again, a red state. So one of the things I love, there are two things I love about this reporting on Vanderbilt, and you can see all of the reporting, listen to the audio tapes at the Daily Wire. Number one, I love that he is beginning to activate locally. He had to look no further than his own local community to find the atrocities that we read about and believe only happen in blue states or in urban centers, right? Nashville, Tennessee. In Sarah Gonzalez's case, this happened in Texas, red state, okay? And this is what needs to happen necessarily. They are embedded in our local communities. I also love how in his reporting, he illustrates how perfectly strategic, manipulative, and maniacal these agendas are and how they start very early. In fact, I was wrong yesterday. I said that the push to put in a gender-affirming unit in Vanderbilt started in 2018. It actually started in 2016. It has now taken 6 years for them to work their way through that institution and corrupt it. And so these people work in, 5 to 10 year plans. And we have to understand that if we're going to defeat them. More on this when we come back in a moment right here on TNT.
You should hear what Joseph Arthur is talking about.
I'm not an expert on immigration policies, and I do feel for the people trying to better their situation who are honestly looking for a new start in a more fruitful location. But from a layman's perspective, America cannot handle an out-of-control influx from every place that people are trying to get away from. America is already at a breaking point, and chaos is ruling the day. DeSantis sent only 50 migrants to Martha's Vineyard, and that provoked a national emergency level outcry from the left and people who champion open border policies the most, losing their minds, which simply outlines the point that realistic limitations need to be applied. It's not inhumane or racist to acknowledge as much. It's a matter of keeping the structure of the nations healthy so that people who do get the opportunity of becoming citizens have a real chance at creating a better life that they seek, while allowing the disenfranchised people born here to do the same. The left absolutely freaked out and compared DeSantis to a Nazi. They seem to be doing that a lot lately, comparing anyone on the right to a Nazi, but God forbid you made that comparison with the draconian measures implemented with the COVID shots, where that comparison seemed much more appropriate in terms of the slippery slope we were on, and perhaps still are.
Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
The great energy reset has arrived. Switzerland threatens to jail people who heat their homes too much in the winter. You heard that right.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
In Switzerland, people who heat their homes too high will face fines and potentially up to 3 years in prison if energy rationing measures are put into place. And given the woeful state of Europe's energy situation, given their pursuit of net zero, expect jail time. Under the proposed plans in Switzerland, the home of the World Economic Forum in Davos, gas-heated buildings would be capped at 66 degrees Fahrenheit and water heating to saunas of only 140 Fahrenheit. Saunas and swimming pools would also be forced by government diktat to remain cold. The same controls are happening in the United States on Americans' air conditioners. They're happening throughout Europe on air conditioning as well. How are you enjoying the great energy reset of 2022? This is our future, only if we allow it. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Children in poverty, each one unique, each one full of dreams. They're our hope, our future. They're the reason Children International exists. When the whole world changed, we developed new ways to reach children and families in poverty during these vulnerable times.
I'm learning every day.
I'm healthy and strong.
To learn more, go to children.org/help today.
Child labor and toxic leaks, the price we pay for a greener future. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Continuing the update on the Matt Walsh reporting on Vanderbilt Medical Center in Nashville, Tennessee, major hospital system that mutilates children for cash. And that really is the story of the gender-affirming care centers and hospital systems across the country. And so this battle against Vanderbilt is going to have nationwide impact as these hospital systems begin to reevaluate their decision to mutilate children for cash. Now, as I mentioned in the last segment, one of the things I really appreciate about this story is, number one, Matt Walsh, a national media figure, but he's looking into his own local community and beginning to activate in his own local community with an enormous impact, right? Pinning Vanderbilt into a corner and forcing them to end these abhorrent practices will have nationwide impact in the same way that a federal judge's ruling on the vax mandates and the mask mandates in the Head Start case is going to have nationwide impact. Our resistance is not just political in the form of electing someone every 2 to 4 years, a Republican or a conservative. There is much more that needs to happen, and this story is indicative of that. What I love about this story, number one, he shows how this agenda is long-term. Started in 2016 to begin this process of the gender-affirming care centers. He shows that it's long-term and it's driven by very few people. Usually one or two. In this case, it was one doctor that did a series of presentations and began selling this concept to the money people at Vanderbilt as early as 2016. He shows in this piece with Vanderbilt how it's implemented in a multi-year process, long-term. He also shows how the use of severe threats and intimidation to quell opposition is a very important part of this process. And you will see in year 2020, that was when they brought in the legal experts to present to all the doctors and the nurses at Vanderbilt that if you didn't engage in these transition surgeries or these transition procedures, then your job would be threatened. You can't claim religious objection. You can't claim that this violates your conscience. You can't claim the Hippocratic Oath of do no harm. If you're a healthcare provider, you will submit or you will lose your job. Matt Walsh uncovered this in the leaked audio that he featured in this piece. It also, the other thing I love about this story is that it illustrates how vulnerable every institution is. Vanderbilt was a, kind of conservative hospital system in a deep red state, in a deep red county with lots of Republicans. So how does this happen? This shows you how vulnerable every institution is. Your church, your political party, your safe red district, the institutions that you engage in, your corporation. Imagine this type of thing, this 6-year process with change agents, embedded in your community with a mission to achieve this new policy based in progressivism and eugenics and just insanity. But imagine this in your school, your town, your church, whatever your business is. Are you prepared to see it and to go up against it? It also shows this story success. And this is the fun part. This is where we get to give you guys the update. So as of yesterday, the story was released on the 20th, 2 days ago. As of yesterday, Vanderbilt claiming victim, right? And, it's always we've received death threats. That's always the excuse. But Vanderbilt, as of yesterday, had taken down its entire website related to their gender clinic and removed, every single document. This is the reporting from Matt Walsh breaking after my report. Vanderbilt's transgender clinic has deleted their entire website. Literally, the whole thing. They're removing everything. Thank goodness Matt Walsh and his Cracker Jack reporters have documented everything as well. So you can tell that they're on the run, but there are more updates. As of a couple days ago from Matt Walsh, the governor of Tennessee is calling now for an investigation into Vanderbilt after my report. Legislators on the state and national level have also responded. So as I mentioned earlier, getting involved in your local community and really digging into what's happening in your institutions that you are connected to, this type of work can have nationwide impact. And even more so when it is an individual like Matt Walsh who has a national audience that he can use to push out information. The story of this is that what's happening locally, what we are seeing here with Vanderbilt, is really the definition of a global plan implemented locally. And Matt Walsh is reporting on this, and then activation to end it is the very definition. It is textbook of individuals and their local communities using their own unique talent and talents and abilities to root out this evil, wicked agenda. And so this is a story. I mean, what I love about this is the story of what I've been calling for as a broadcaster for almost 10 years, right? We've been conditioned to believe that it has to be a national fix. It has to be an act of Congress. It has to be a victory in a national election or a Republican president. Like, that's the only way we can win stuff. No. We can win a ton of stuff in these other avenues, in these other angles. And you can do this in your own community. That's what I love about this. Another update from Matt Walsh. Breaking. My team and I have been investigating. Oh no, this is not the one. The other breaking news is that Matt Walsh was also contacted by two Tennessean legislators who are now looking to help him write legislation complementary to what the governor is attempting to do with the investigation into Vanderbilt. And they are looking now to write legislation to ban the practice of transitioning minors, whether it's chemically, hormonal, or biologically with surgery. They are looking now to ban the entire practice in the state of Tennessee. There we go. That's how it's done, guys. That is a local bottom up. Let's not wait for the feds to do this. We can do this ourselves. We, the people of the United States of America, will be back in a minute.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
Tesla has announced it is recalling some 1.1 million cars in the U.S., citing a safety issue with the automatic window reversal system. British Prime Minister Liz Truss told the UN General Assembly that free nations should band together and act as an economic NATO to defend prosperity against the malevolent influence of authoritarian regimes like Russia and China. Donald Trump could be allowed back on Facebook in time for the 2024 election season.
For a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, keeping you in the loop on TNT Radio.
I love shows like this where I can bring you good news. I can bring you evidence and anecdotes of people from their own corner of the world fighting for liberty and winning. And it just warms my heart. I know very often I come on the radio and it is necessarily my job as a commentator, presenter, broadcaster to bring you the news, like what is going on. And there's a lot of bad news out there when you look at the mounting data regarding adverse events and deaths from the COVID-19 vaccines, all of them, the mRNA. When you look at the latest from the World Economic Forum and all the movers and shakers on the global stage, Jordan Schachtel with really great reporting. In fact, all of the mega maniacal control freak lunatics, right, who usually meet in Davos and Brussels, well, apparently they're in New York City. They're in my home state. Over this past week, I haven't done a ton of reporting on it, but I'm going to. We're going to take a look at what they talked about, and I'm sure that it is dystopian and terrifying. And so we're going to look at, you know, what is going down with the Davos crowd here in New York City, potentially tomorrow on the show when I have Owen Stevens in with me. But there's a lot of bad out there. There is also a lot of good, and that's kind of the extraordinary aspect of the past 2.5 years of COVID lockdown. It is very Dickens, the best of times and the worst of times. Sometimes it has to get so bad. necessarily. It has to get so bad, because if it doesn't, the people won't wake up, and the people have to necessarily wake up in order to resist it and push back. Unfortunately, both are necessary in extraordinary times when we are battling, right, for the future of humanity in the 21st century. What will the 21st century look like? Will we be free, or will we be slaves? Will we have free enterprise and sovereignty as individual human beings, as citizens of our respective countries? Or will we be enslaved? Will our bodies be captured by a technocracy, by an unelected, self-appointed global governing body who simply believes that they have the right, because of their elite status, because of their enormous amount of wealth, because they are connected globally now? They just believe that they know more, they are better, they have better ideas. We're pretty much dumb animals and hackable animals, according to them, and I quote, who deserve nothing. You will own nothing and you will be happy. And that's what they believe. And the question is, are we going to believe what they're saying? They're saying it. They're rolling out the agenda. It's in plain sight. Are we willing to see that? And are we willing to sacrifice potentially our lives, our fortune, our sacred honor for our children and our grandchildren? Right? I mean, that's the nature of the battle. It's almost not about us anymore. We're kind of in the wilderness, man, right? Like, we're, my generation, as Gen Xers, man, we're reaping the consequences of the last 50 to 100 years of profligate spending and increased corruption and a degradation of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and a general apathy of the population. I mean, this is what we get when we forget that it's our job as individuals to protect our liberty. When we forget to jealously guard our local institutions and our local sovereignty and also our individual sovereignty. And so this is what happens. I mean, when you take your eye off the ball, they're gonna take it. This is who we're up against. So very interesting. There's a lot of bad out there, but I love these shows where I can come and bring you some good news. And this is incredibly good news from the Liberty Justice Center. Federal judge strikes down federal school mask and vaccine mandate. 280,000 Head Start program teacher staff and volunteers faced a jab or job mandate. It went to federal court. It took about a year, but the judge smacked down this mandate, and it is going to have nationwide implications. So this is from Liberty Justice Center. So Lafayette, Louisiana, yesterday, federal judge in Louisiana ruled that the federal government cannot require Head Start program teachers, staff, and volunteers be vaccinated against COVID-19, nor can they require that adults and students wear masks. In December of 2021, there was a teacher. Her name was Sandy Brick. Again, one person, in this case, an anonymous teacher who worked for Head Start in the state of Louisiana, said, you know what? I'm not gonna take this. I don't want the vaccine. I don't wanna lose my job. And I'm now going to begin to activate from my own corner of the world. She lawyered up. She was able to get access to some really great attorneys at the Liberty Justice Center. And she went to work, and she worked for a year. And now this decision is going to impact private mandates, employer mandates, and potentially other government agency mandates, military mandates, any of Biden's other mandates throughout the federal government. And this impacts immediately 24 states, but very often if something like this impacts those 24 states, you will begin to see the other half of the states begin, you know, in terms of precedent, to follow the ruling, because they can see the writing on the wall, right? Brick filed a lawsuit in federal court, Louisiana, constitutional, to stop the mandate, and was represented by the national law firm Liberty Justice Center and the Louisiana-based Pelican Institute for Public Policy. And here's a quote from the Institute. Although President Biden recently declared that the pandemic is over, the fight to restore Americans' individual liberties is not. We will continue to fight for teachers like Sandy and the low-income students that they serve until every illegal and unjustified mandate is wiped from the books. Today's decision is a significant step towards undoing the injustice perpetrated against everyday Americans throughout the COVID-19 crisis. And this is one of the areas that really ticks me off. If you go to a white suburban school, if you go to a private school, an elite private school in Manhattan or in New York City or in Washington, D.C., you will find children who have been unmasked for almost a year at this point. Children who are free to breathe the air, little kids, they save the worst. They keep that, they continue to keep this mask mandate in place in the poorest communities in the United States of America. It is little brown and black children who are suffocating and suffering under President Obama and these COVID fascists. They know they can't get away with it with an affluent population of people and an educated population of people. And so they save the worst of their atrocities. They hold on to their power in the places where people are at times destitute and poor and not represented. And it's disgusting. It is disgusting. Notice how the elites for so many years during COVID-19 on media and television and in, you know, government would be having lunches or dinners or galas or events, and they would all have the masks off, but it was only the waiters and the waitresses and the staff and the servants and the people who serve them who had to be masked up. So disgusting, so elitist, so absurd, by the way. If you don't have a mask, I don't even want to go into it, okay? Utterly absurd. It just goes to show how smug and elite these monsters really are. That they will cling to this and they will do it in disadvantaged communities because those communities don't have the resources to fight back and to fight for their kids. Thank you to Liberty Justice Center. Thank you to Sandy Brick and also Pelican Institute because they stood up for the kids. Head Start programs are for disadvantaged children, minority children. So this was a very important ruling. Here's more. Head Start agencies, again, to my point, they're local, they're largely nonprofit and potentially governmental providers that receive federal funding to provide services for these children. The providers received the new mandates in November of 2021, took about a year, and the Office of Head Start under the Department of Health and Human Services published what they called an interim final rule. And the requirement demanded, and this is after people were unmasked, I mean, everybody was unmasking, the vaccines were tanking. In fact, in the federal ruling, which by the way, I read the entire thing, it was very good. This was filed from the United States District Court, the Western District of Louisiana, the Monroe decision. The judge is Judge Terry Doty, an American hero, that's fantastic. But in the actual ruling, Doty mentions President Joe Biden. After initially rejecting vaccine mandates, President Joe Biden's patience, quote, began wearing thin, quote, with those who haven't gotten vaccinated, if you recall. And so Biden, in a fit in a tantrum in September of 2021, announced a series of federal vaccine mandates, which included the Head Start mandate. So because people were rejecting the vaccines, remember, we were all supposed to submit to these vaccine mandates, right? 90% of the population was supposed to be vaccinated. At this point in the United States of America, in terms of being up to date and fully vaccinated, I would be surprised if it's 40%. Miserable failure, despite all of the propaganda, the intimidation, the manipulation that these agencies and the media foisted on the American people. And so it really was a vindictive move where they had the power to do it in these poor communities. They did it. They also did it to the military as well. But in the ruling permanently enjoining the vaccine and mask mandate in 24 states, the U.S. District Court Judge Terry A. Doty writes, the public interest is served by maintaining the constitutional structure and maintaining the liberty of individuals who do not want to take the COVID-19 vaccine. This interest outweighs agency defendants' interests. So your individual sovereignty outweighs the bureaucracy. It outweighs the agency. It outweighs the executive order. Your rights come first, this judge writes here. The public has a liberty interest in not being required to take a vaccine or being fired from their jobs. The public interest must be taken into account before allowing agency defendants to mandate vaccines. Although vaccines arguably serve the public interest, the liberty interests of individuals mandated to take the COVID-19 vaccine outweighs any interest generated by the mandatory administration of vaccines. This is broad. This is a broad ruling. This ruling can be used in states like California and New York, who have ripped away the religious exemption and the philosophical exemption and also the medical exemptions for children across the state in terms of routine childhood vaccination. He's not just talking about COVID-19 vaccines. He's talking about vaccines in general. He writes in the beginning of this decision, this is beautiful. I love this judge. The accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, and whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elected, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. James Madison, Federalist Number 51, 1778. There we go. Let's go. We're going to look a little more into this when we come back. This is great news. Great news for liberty in the United States of America. And we're going to continue to push that pedal to the metal for justice and for liberty. We'll lead the way. We'll be back in a moment on The Shannon Joy Show.
TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
I mean, you have the government, you know, labeling parents who speak up at school boards, terrorists, domestic terrorists, of course. And you have everything from teachers don't have to report to parents once they're in the school. It seems like teachers and the teachers unions now believe that they own the rights to your kids when it comes to, even if the kid wants a sex change or wants to use a different bathroom or wants to be called by a he or a she if they're the opposite, and they don't have to tell parents. And I mean, it goes down the line. And what concerns you the most as a parent? And in your view, what should parents be concerned about the most when they send their kids to school?
You know, I think the most concerning thing is just the lack of transparency. The thought that parents don't deserve to know what's going on in schools and in their kids' education is so ridiculous, considering we all pay taxes and we all elect school board members, yet somehow we're told that we don't have a right to know what's going on.
Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
George Soros has supported the election of numerous left-wing DA candidates. Since 2016, when Soros first began to back the campaigns of district attorneys, Capital Research Center researchers have tracked more than $29 million in funding from Soros through political action committees, PACs, formed specifically to back left-wing DA candidates. In total, Soros's cash has generously supported over 20 individual candidates, many of whom won their elections and remain in office. They include Diana Becton, Contra Costa County, California. Becton was one of the first in the position to have no prior experience as a prosecutor. During Becton's first years in office, four Contra Costa cities made the list of the top 100 most dangerous cities in California in 2018, and both violent crime and property crime increased in 2019. Soros has spent a combined $6 million on California DA races, much of it wasted on failed candidates. But almost half was spent on the successful campaign of George Gascon from Los Angeles DA. Since the election, Gascon's implementation of left-wing policies led to a crime wave with soaring homicide rates and increased shoplifting sprees. Kim Fox, Cook County, Chicago, Illinois, who's known for her 2019 decision to drop charges against Jussie Smollett for his infamous hate crime hoax, has made headlines for presiding over Chicago's largest spike in homicides in more than 30 years, while her office dropped charges against 30% of felony defendants during 2020.
Email from school. About the incident today.
Scary.
Tell me about it. Did you have any idea that was going on?
None. I mean, you saw Derek at the game last night too. Did you have a clue?
No, but you know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do. Kids hear first about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
It can be hard to tell sometimes, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, bullying, violence, anything, you need to tell an adult. Mom or me, a teacher, coach, school counselor, someone you know and trust.
Dad, no kid is gonna tell an adult about that kind of stuff.
I get it, but if we don't know, we can't help. Speaking up about a problem, that's what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
We have every right to believe Ukraine funds are being money laundered, unless proven otherwise. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back, y'all, to the final segment of the Shannon Joy Show right here on TNT Radio. And hey, are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio? I know I am. I have the app on my phone. I listen every day when I'm in the car. It has kind of replaced some of my other regular radio listening. Do you think we're doing a good job? If you do, please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or a comment on our Facebook page, on Gab or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk TNT Radio. And I am so glad to be a part of this amazing team. And also so glad to bring you really good news today. It is a Dickens situation, right? Things are so bad. These people who want to take over everything and seize everything from us, including our bodies and the bodies of our children, for their bizarro dystopian technocracy dreams of the 21st century are really bad. And they are hitting us from every angle. I don't like inflation. I don't like skyrocketing energy prices. I don't like looming vaccine mandates on the horizon and gun-grabbing legislation and all of the craziness and the chaos that they have planned for us. None of us like this. It's bad, right? It is the worst of times. But at the same time, it's the best of times. Because in this, because we are facing such extraordinary wickedness and such a bleak prospect for our future, it is necessarily forcing us as individuals to wake up and to reach out and to get better and to be better and to find each other and to face the lies that we've told ourselves for many, many years to keep us complacent, right, and apathetic. We wouldn't do all of this if we weren't faced with this great evil. And so for the first time in my adult life at, you know, 45 years old, I understand Charles Dickens, Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I wish I had the entire quote right here in front of me because it is marvelous, marvelous. And so you got to embrace that. And I love coming to you on an evening because there's a lot of bad stuff out there. But when there is a win, let's savor it. Let's use it. And this is a huge win. This is a ruling from the United States District Court, the Western District of Louisiana. The judge is Terry A. Doty. And this is smashing down a massive vaccine mandate, jab for job mandate that was set to go in effect in December of this year. The employees, the contractors, anyone, any volunteer, anyone engaged in Head Start was going to be forced to be completely up to date on their mRNA COVID-19 toxic jabs in order to continue with employment. it was looming. And here this federal judge steps in and smashes not only that vaccine mandate for employees, but also the mask mandate that was still in place and is still being enforced by Head Start. Again, smothering two-year-old little children, primarily low-income children, people of color, little brown and black babies who have been forgotten by the elites, who are being abused by the elites as they desperately cling to the very last bastion of power that they have. And that is in these low-income communities. So disgusting. And this judge set them free in 24 states across America. And this will likely have impact. It will likely have impact in the other half of the states. This is the final ruling of the judge, the conclusion. For the reasons set forth in the court's ruling, the plaintiff states cross motion for summary judgment is granted. Those are the 24 states. Additionally, Brick's motion for summary judgment is granted. They were looking for a nationwide injunction, and it was granted. The motion to dismiss by the defendants are denied. The United States Department of Health and Human Resources, the Administration for Children and Families, and the Office of Head Start, along with their secretary, directors, administrators, and employees, are hereby enjoined and restrained from implementing the Head Start mandate as set forth in 86 Federal Registry 68052. As to all head staff, volunteers, contractors, students, and all other covered by the Head Start mandate, this permanent injunction shall remain in effect pending the final resolution of this case or until further orders from the court, the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, or the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Hoorah, there we go. Permanently enjoined and restrained. Masks off the children. No more vaccine mandates. And this will have impact in some of the other court cases, military, we know that, and a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, where are all the lawsuits? Well, a lot of them are just working their way very slowly through the federal court system. So in order for this to go away, it's gonna have to go to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And according to Liberty Justice Center in their statement today, the federal government must now decide whether to appeal this decision, right? This ruling to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is the same court that recently blocked the government's vaccine mandate for private businesses. So it's not a friendly court. They're gonna have to take this all the way up to the Supreme Court. I assure you, the Supreme Court does not wanna take this. This is an issue that Republicans don't want to touch, even a quote unquote conservative letter, you know, Republican court. So this is going to have enormous impact. And I'm so thankful. These are two organizations that I've never even heard of, the Liberty Justice Center and this Pelican Institute for Public Policy. It just goes to show, similar to what Matt Walsh is doing down in Nashville, Tennessee, in his own corner of the world, and what these folks are doing in the state of Louisiana, in their own corner of the world. I mean, these types of actions multiplied by hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands from every little community in the country. This is the revolution in the United States of America. It looks different than what we're seeing in Europe. And necessarily, what we're seeing in Europe is what we should be seeing in America. And that is people pouring out into the street in outrage over the seizure of our sovereignty, our sovereign nations, and our sovereign individual beings by these unelected, self-appointed global tyrants. We can see it now. And we are reacting and we are fighting back. We are raging against this in a different way. And in different ways, in different countries and communities. But that's what's so beautiful about it. You don't want a top-down authoritarian solution to authoritarianism, because then you're just gonna substitute one tyrant for another. And we know no one can wield the ring of power without becoming corrupted. That's the point of separation of powers. That's the point of the vertical and horizontal separation of powers in the United States government. Men are not angels. Men cannot wield power absolutely without being corrupted. And this is why, this is the essence of why I continually advocate for, you know, decentralized, localized, individualized responses to this tyranny. Because if we don't do it this way, we will simply swap one global tyrannical government for another. And we will erase human freedom and sovereignty and dignity in the 21st century. We've got to do this ourselves. It is not the easier way. It is necessarily the harder way, but it is the better way, and it is the way that will work for good for at least maybe another 50 years or 70 years or 100 years. And then we're going to have to fight this battle again, right? Because this is all cyclical. It's all cyclical. All right. We've run out of time. We didn't have time to talk about the marvelous, beautiful revolt across Western democracies in Europe tonight, but we will talk about it tomorrow on the show as we close out the week here on The Shannon Joy Show. Thank you so much for listening. I love to hear from you. TheShannonJoyShow@gmail.com. TheShannonJoyShow@gmail.com is how you can find me. We will be back to do it all again tomorrow right here on TNT.